Thanks, blessings, Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, March 28th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Civil servants say the government has not yet informed state workers about its intentions to cut the workforce.
They have not yet communicated this formally to the representatives of the workers in government, even through the Joint Negotiating Council. We are only getting to know this because we are reading the newspapers.
52 Zimbabwean long-distance drivers were fired after protesting against poor working conditions and low pay say they want their jobs back.
The mainline freight, that's their sequence. Whenever you engage into a job boycott, everyone involved into that will be fired. So all those drivers, they knew that they were going to be fired.
And do you know that raising money has become made easy on the internet? Stay tuned. Civil servants say the government has not yet informed them about its intentions to cut the workforce. Richard Kundani, who sits in the Apex Council, set up for government and state workers negotiators, says they are surprised by reports that there are attempts to trim the civil service, totaling almost 500,000. Kundani tells Studio 7 it is surprising that the government wants to get rid of workers without following proper procedures.
Unfortunately, we are only reading about it in the newspapers and following the media. The new statement and the new policy dimension that government seems to be taking, they have not yet communicated this formally to the representatives of the workers in government, even through the Joint Negotiating Council. So as the Apex Council, we are only getting to know this because we are reading the newspapers and following the media. What we know is what the Honourable Minister told us during our consultations last year, that they were aware that there was a huge civil service which resulted in more than 80% of the budget going towards the payment of staff costs, including salaries and other things. But at that particular time, we were also made aware by the same Honourable Minister that the government was not yet taking a position of retrenching or downsizing because they realized that it was necessary to keep the civil servants until a time when our economy was performing well so that the same civil service could be made use of in order to turn around the fortunes of the country.
But have you tried to engage the government about this latest development?
The good thing is that we have now resuscitated our meetings, National Joint Negotiating Council meetings, which meetings provide a platform for us to engage government. So I want to believe that the meeting that we are going to have going forward, we had our first meeting which did not come to an end, and hopefully we are going to be meeting from next week onwards. We want to believe that government should take that opportunity then to clearly explain to us what their new position is.
That was Richard Kundani of the Apex Council speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Public Service Minister Priscilla Mufumira was not responding to calls made to her mobile phone.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
52 Zimbabwean long-distance drivers were fired after protesting against poor working conditions and low pay, say they want their jobs back. According to one of the fired drivers of mainline freight company, who did not want to be identified for fear of being victimized, they are set to meet management soon to resolve the problem. It tells Studio 7 they were unfairly dismissed.
When mainline drivers went on strike, they had their grievances which they brought forward to the company, but the grievances were not taken care of. So they just fired 53 drivers for the sake of their safety. I don't know what they fired 53 drivers for.
So now, taking into account that the drivers actually impounded some trucks in Harare, was it not a retaliation for what you actually did?
Actually, what people know about mainline, it's mainline freight. That's their sequence. Whenever you engage into a job boycott, Everyone involved into that will be fired. So all those drivers, they knew that they were going to be fired. So they wanted to be paid their money before they released the trucks to go to SA. So by so doing, they tried to, like, impound the trucks in Zimbabwe. And as they did that, they couldn't win because Mainline is a very big company. They use money all the way. So they paid, I don't know if they paid in Zimbabwe, if they do whatever they do in Zimbabwe for them to get the trucks back to them. But all the drivers, when they came to South Africa, they were all fired.
So how are you going to settle this matter?
Right. As far as I'm concerned, I was part of the drivers who were on the strike on that date. But I'm still new by the company. I've only worked for Mainline for 7 months. And I don't have the reason for striking. I don't have any benefit, even if I strike. So there are a lot of guys, 6 or 7 guys, who are still new. They don't even have 8 months working for Mainline. The other guy is called Given Chamnorwa. He drove all the way from Harare up to after Beatrice. And he was followed and he was told to make a U-turn to Harare. All those things they didn't take into consideration. They just fired everyone.
So now what is going to happen?
When we were all fired, 8 guys, they went to the National Bargaining Council of the Road Freight and Logistics Industry, the one that deals with the transport industry in South Africa. And they said they are not going to deal with the issue. Unfortunately, the issue is supposed to be handled by the labor court in terms of their labor act, I don't know. So they just ordered us to go with the letters they gave us, to go with them to the company. If we don't settle the issue, then the issue is taken to the labor court. There comes another issue, which was said on 9 April. There is going to be a settlement agreement, which is going to be done at Mainline Freight Depot Isando, that is in Johannesburg, at 10 a.m. They say that's the final settlement of the case. So we are not yet sure if we are going back to work or if we are all still fired.
Are you seeking to return to work?
I'm seeking to go back to work because I haven't worked for the company before. All those things which were being done by that manager that they were accusing, I didn't see that because I'm still new. So I'm seeking to go back to work.
So now just tell us some of the grievances that you are actually expressing.
The drivers were crying about their salaries being deducted, untold deductions of money. You don't even know what the deductions are for. Secondly, you are not allowed even to have your wife in the truck. The wife is supposed to be 100 meters away from the truck. Thirdly, the guys who have been working for Mainline before, they've been earning something like 24,000, 25,000. Now they were earning 7,000 rand a month. It was supposed to be 12,500 rand per trip. If you go to Zambia and come back, you're given 12,500. If you go again, you come back, you give it 12.5. Then they will deduct the tax and all the stuff. Maybe 19, 20, 21,000, you get it. But now we were getting 7,000 rand.
That was a fired Mainline Freight Company driver who refused to be identified, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. But the company's communications manager, Kate Stubbs, tells Studio 7 this matter is being settled through legal ways.
A group of Mainline Freight drivers took part in an unprotected strike commencing on the 18th of January 2015. The company was awarded a South African Labour Court interdict, confirming that the strike illegal. And subsequently, a High Court order from Zimbabwe was received by the company instructing the drivers to return their assets to the company immediately. Comprehensive internal consultative and disciplinary processes were followed, and the result of which was the immediate dismissal of all drivers that partook in the unprotected strike. This group of drivers has now referred the matter to the National Bargaining Council for Road Freight in South Africa, and we are waiting further notice of proceedings.
We understand that on April 9th, there is going to be a meeting at your place there. What will it be all about with the drivers?
Unfortunately, now that it's been raised to the National Bargaining Council, I can't comment further than the information I've given you now.
We are also told that some of the drivers are saying they want to come back to work. Will that be possible?
I cannot comment further than I've given you. We followed internal protocols and procedures. They were dismissed, and now the matter has been raised further to the National Bargaining Council, which is at a legal level. We now move forward into legal proceedings, and so we will partake fully in those procedures. So further than the next steps, I cannot comment to you.
That was Mainline Company's Communications Manager, Kate Stubbs, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. Do you know that raising money has been made easy on the internet?
UCaring.com is one of the companies that has helped more than 20,000 families in various situations to raise money. At the moment, this internet-based application has been used to raise money for three Zimbabweans who died recently in USA. Studio 7 speaks to UCaring.com Communications Director Leonard Lee about the utilization of this application.
There are certainly many ways that the families can raise money when they are in need, locally, within their community, with their churches, at their schools, their neighborhoods, and so forth. But crowdfunding really opens a brand new opportunity for people that really wasn't available that many years ago, where they can utilize their social networks, where they can reach out, as I mentioned, to their friends and family around the world, and they can really enlist their help. So as we've seen in this unfortunate recent example with the two families from Zimbabwe, you can very quickly organize a global network of friends and family and even people that you don't know who can help your cause.
So, you know, how did you come out with this kind of app?
It was started by two students in the U.S. who were seeking to raise money for mission work around the globe. And at that point, crowdfunding was just beginning with platforms that people may have heard of, such as Kickstarter and Indiegogo. But those platforms charged a fee for raising funds. And these two students said, well, that's not acceptable. We want to be able to keep all the money that we raise. So they took it upon themselves to start UCaring to create a means that people could donate money for free. And they originally intended it only to be for their family and their friends to raise money for their mission work. But other people found out about it, and as often happens with the internet, word spread very quickly. And other people said, well, we have other causes and needs, whether it's medical expenses, funeral expenses, and so forth. Can you help us? And so since then, it has grown very quickly. And I think the reason for that is it demonstrates that there is a tremendous need all over the world for two things, I think. You know, people have needs, and they need oftentimes to raise funds from family and friends for very difficult situations.
And we see that UCaring is actually linked to Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms. How effective is that when you are using most of those platforms?
It's not only helpful, but it's almost essential that the fundraising campaigns with crowdfunding, most of the successful campaigns succeed because the people effectively use their social networks. If we see fundraising campaigns where people literally get donations from around the world as news of their story spreads on Facebook, on Twitter, on news media, and people find out about it this way, and it really can make crowdfunding an effective means to reach people around the world.
That was UCaring Communications Director Leonard Lee speaking with Studio 7 from San Francisco, California, USA. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today we are continuing our discussion with Mrs. Teresa Makoni, the treasurer of the MDCT, who visited our studios last week. Welcome again to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Makoni.
Thank you very much for having me.
In Zimbabwe in particular, women are the ones that actually go to the rallies. They are
yes.
the ones that go and vote.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the real elections, we see them voting in men. What happens?
What happens is that there is a problem still with women, especially in the third world. We are poor, as you know. We don't have access to resources. So when men are campaigning, they have deep pockets. By and large, they have deep pockets, deeper pockets, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to give gifts and to promise gifts to voters. Even though we are 52% of the population, we end up believing that these people can look after us for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we vote for them. But no sooner have we voted them in than they disappear from the scene. And that woman that you left behind might have been the one to deliver for you. So, but I think people are learning gradually that it is not what you are given during election periods. As ZANU has demonstrated in all these years, they give you inputs in the year that they want to go to elections. And in between, they forget about you. So you soon learn that these things that are given for election purposes, and I think that women will soon do as well. But it's not just a problem of Zimbabwe or the third world.
Mm-hmm.
Because even walking up Capitol Hill, coming to your studios, senators were knocking off. And I saw that the majority are still men.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the first world, the so-called Western world, the problem is still there. Women find it much harder to actually succeed politically because they don't have the kind of resources that their male colleagues have got.
Okay, to a woman listening out there, especially in the rural areas, they will say, okay, Mrs. Makoni, I go to the rallies, I go and vote. How can I change my mindset so that I also vote in a woman if they're capable?
I think that the women, potential women leaders out there, must actually now start engaging some of us, because we are seeing the last years of our political lives. They must engage us, invite us, and we talk and we exchange ideas, and we can also see what we can do about personal training. And personal training is not only for people that have got a degree education. There are different fora where women are trained to present themselves and to be eloquent when giving speeches. You are not born an orator. It's things that you acquire as you go.
And also, are you mentoring any young women to take up the position that Teresa Makoni might one day leave?
I do try, especially in the party and among our staff, the young women. I think they would say that I was approachable and that I do encourage them. I do try my best because, you know, I'm a mother of daughters only. I don't have sons. And they did very well. And I want to think that it was because I was encouraging them not to look at themselves as women, but as persons. And I think that is what really matters. It is not your gender that decides who you are. Mm-hmm. It is the person inside.
Time is not on our side. Thank you, Mrs. Teresa Makoni, the treasurer of the MDCT, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Join me again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally, in sports news, Dongo Sawmills clash with Haumine in the Kasilaka Premier Soccer League tomorrow. Caps United vs FC Platinum, Cholocho vs Highlanders, and Wange FC host ZPC Kariba.
Yes, mama. When I want sleep, my mother go bed me. She go lie me well, well, go bed too. Cover me close, say make you sleep. Sleep, sleep, my pinky.
Today's top stories. Civil servants say the government has not yet informed them about its intentions to cut the workforce. And 52 Zimbabwean long-distance drivers were fired after protesting against poor working conditions and low pay in South Africa say they want their jobs back. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande.
This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very